Welcome to the Pint Glass Football Podcast.
Pint Glass Football, NFL and college football. I'm your host, Brad Fowler. What's up, PGF Nation? The NFL draft is over, so it's time to give out some team draft grades. And today, we'll start with the NFC North. We'll tell you the picks that we liked and didn't like for each team in the division. And of course, we're going to grade each team. Joining me, like always, my co-host, Alex Higdon. Alex, what is going on?
Yo, Brad, what a draft. Detroit showed up and showed out. I mean, what the NFL has done with this event, which used to be sitting in that I used to sit in Radio City Music Hall, and what they've turned it into an extravaganza whose ratings really take over playoff basketball, just to watch people walk across the stage and cry and shake the commissioner's hand, is an incredible event. And we were tuned in from the first to the seventh round.
Man, I couldn't have put it better, Alex. You are absolutely right. I love this event. You love this event. PGF Nation, I know you love this event. The two greatest sports come together, college football, the NFL, and you are right. What a scene that was in Detroit. My goodness, they showed up big, broke the draft attendance record. Ever since the NFL decided to start moving this around to the NFL cities, it continues to gain even more and more popularity. I got to give a quick shout out to Mel Kiper Jr. because this is a guy who envisioned what this could be way back in the early 80s. He was the first guy that really pushed to televise this event. And at the time, the NFL didn't want to do it, and he had to get ESPN on board to start putting it on TV, because he was a guy that was basically early on in his career, he was creating scouting reports on these college players, and he was selling scouting reports to GMs. He saw the interest years and years ago from the fans and from people. Just he saw how big this thing could become. And I've got to give him some credit here, because fast forward all these years later, and now the draft has become such a monster industry of people like us and a million others who cover this thing. What a blast this was, Alex. I watched every single pick from the first pick when Caleb Williams was selected all the way to Mr. Irrelevant, Alex. I loved every minute of it. Let's jump into it. Our first edition of the NFL draft grades. And we're going to start in the NFC North because, like I mentioned, Caleb Williams being the number one pick, the Bears had the first pick. So we're going to start right there. Chicago Bears, first overall. Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. This was a layup. We knew this was going to be the pick a long time ago. Look, there's mixed opinions on this guy. Some people love him, some people don't. But I'm going to tell you how I feel about him. This guy would have been the number one pick in every single draft going back to 2013. I think he's that special of a player. The best quarterback prospect, personally, that I've evaluated since I started this podcast, and that includes Trevor Lawrence, who we know was a very special talent coming out of Clemson. This guy is an elite talent. There's no perfect prospect. Look, I get that. He has some things that I think he's going to need to work on, but the floor is so high, and his ceiling might be even higher, because I don't think we've seen his best football. I think he's going to grow into a phenomenal player. There is nothing this guy can't do at the quarterback position. Incredible arm, accurate, athletic, quite frankly, the best pocket awareness and escapability I've ever seen at the college level. I was on the field last year, had field passes, media passes for the USC-Oregon game. I got to see Caleb Williams up close. And look, watching guys live up close is different than TV. I heard Lewis Riddick say this during the draft on TV. He said, watch NASCAR on TV, and it's like, okay, yeah, they're going fast, and you can read on the screen they're going almost 200 miles an hour. But if you go see a race live, the speed will blow your mind. He went on to say that football is the same. And look, he's right. He's absolutely right. Because I watched Caleb Williams escape pressure so many times when just about any other quarterback would have taken a sack. and I watched him make jaw-dropping throws versus an Oregon defense that just had a bunch of guys go into the NFL. This is a special, special prospect.
Yeah, Brad. I mean, we, like you said, we knew once the clock hit zero on Chicago season, we already knew where this was headed. It was just a matter of time to move on from Justin Fields and really start to align everything. And, you know, talking about, I think we've talked about and everybody has heard everybody talk about Caleb Williams a lot. So I don't even want to beat a dead horse, because I think the most important thing and most critical thing that they did in this new era of Chicago Bears is the player you're going to talk about that they got next.
Yeah, Alex, because they had that second first round pick, ninth overall. They took Rome Odunze, the wide receiver out of Washington. We've talked a lot about this guy. Alex and I are really high on him. He was the number two wide receiver in this class. Alex, you nailed it in your mock draft. You had Caleb Williams going one, of course, like I did, but you had Rome Odunze going number nine, one of the most NFL-ready players in this draft, a guy who checks every box. You've made the comp for him as Davante Adams, and I think that tells you exactly how special of a player this guy is. Home run pick at number nine. You go get your quarterback at number one. You go get him more weapons right away with the ninth overall pick to help him succeed right away.
You get to step on the field with an offensive line that's been revamped going back to last year, with a new defense that's still currently in transition and still getting better. And we saw what they did the second half. And now you get your quarterback, and now you get to walk onto the field. And when you look to your left, you're going to see DJ Moore, and you're going to see Keenan Allen in the slot. And when you look to your right, you're going to see Rome Odunze, a tactician and a specific pinpoint route runner, and a borderline all-pro tight end in Cole Kmet. And you have to feel real comfortable coming from where you came from in terms of USC, where your best receiver, and this is not a knock, where your best receiver was Brendan Rice, and to be able to look at the bar, because that's what I look at it when I look, how I look at it when a quarterback walks up and takes a look around. There's the bar, which is the offensive line, and then, for lack of a better term, the drinks are DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Rome Odunze, and that mixture can make for some powerful things that can happen in Chicago's future.
Absolutely, Alex. And then in the third round, they go and get some help for the offensive line. They select Kyren Amagaji, offensive tackle out of Yale. Look, I think this was a great pick in the third round. Yes, he played against lesser competition, but he was dominant at that level. Now, he's a bit of a project player, and I think he has some refining that he has to do at the next level, but the traits for this guy are completely off the charts. 6'5", 323 pounds, super long arms. He's athletic. He's got great feet, good body control. I think there is some big upside for this guy, and I like that pick. Now, I didn't love that Chicago ended up taking a punter in round four, but at the very least, if you're going to take a punter there, they took Torrey Taylor, who was hands down the best punter in this draft. So I guess I don't hate it from that standpoint. Go get the best player. It might have been a little early for a punter. In the fifth round, though, they take Austin Booker, the edge rusher from Kansas. And I really like this pick too, Alex. Good value pick here in the fifth round. I think he's a guy who could be a situational pass rusher year one. He had 8 sacks last season at Kansas. He flashed a few times at the Senior Bowl. Really like this pick late for them. I think GM Ryan Poles only had 5 picks in this draft, but he made the most of them. He found talented guys that filled holes on this roster and then found value picks in the third and fifth round. Alex, I'm giving them an A- for this draft. I think it would be an A. They reached a little bit for the punter. I didn't love that, but the rest of this draft, home run across the board.
You know what? I'm going to give them an A+, and this is the reason I'm going to give them an A+. Chicago, for years, have never had the prototypical franchise quarterback. There was a lot, I'm pretty sure, that phone in the Chicago Bears headquarters was ringing off the hook, and the amount, the type of deals that I can imagine Ryan Poles was hearing on the phone had to be some of the most tempting deals out there. and he stood firm. And like you said, they only had five picks. They only had five picks coming in. There was a lot of talk. And if you go back, and I always encourage people to go back and listen to our previous drafts, we talked about them possibly making this pick. If I'm not mistaken, they actually have four, and they traded for the fifth, if I want to be correct, going back. But, and we talked about them possibly trading that because they did not have a lot of picks. But the fortitude to stand on, as the kids say, stand on business and still take Romo Dunzie there and become an offensive team after years upon years upon years of this Monsters of the Midway moniker that Chicago has always had. They're getting a new stadium that's going to be a dome. Now you get to walk into the future with your quarterback, your wide receiver, and this plethora of offensive weapons going into a new era of what the Chicago Bears can be. So that's the reason I'm giving them an A+. The Green Bay Packers first round. Some people thought this might have been a reach. He was a back end first round, early second round pick. But Jordan Morgan coming to Arizona the year that he had in Arizona after he transferred, what he put on tape showed that, hey, I'm a guy, I deserve to be drafted. And the one thing that we do know about Green Bay as a whole, they do not get a lot of free agents. So a lot of their money and efforts go into scouting. They have some of the best scouts in the NFL because they know they do not, because of location, do not typically attract big-time free agents. So a lot of what they do is really based around the draft. And we know when they make a draft, it's a draft for a guy that's going to come in and be immediate impact. And Jordan Morgan is one of those guys. Obviously, with the departure of Bakhtiari, who had been there for years, now you have Jordan Morgan to finalize the other side of that line for Jordan Love as they also go into the future. Now, with the rest of these picks, they are at a luxury. And this is very interesting, and we just spoke about it off air, Brad. When you look at their team, they don't have a lot of 10-year vets on this team. A lot of this team is very 5, 6, barely 7-year vets on this team. So when they draft, they're drafting in terms of looking at the future and creating a lot of competition. And it continued in the second round with Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M. This guy's a disruptor, a run defender. Some people may even call him a thumper. You know, he led the SEC with 17 tackles for loss, and he has the burst to shoot the gap. So when you try to run against this team, he's going to be right there. And the thing about it is, when we talk about the draft, you also have to talk about what the team already has in place and what they did last year in getting Quay Walker. And they did move on from Zaire Smith, but they ended up, you know, Quay Walker stepped up. They got Lucas Van Ness in that last year as well. And now you get to put Edgerrin Cooper in the middle of that defense again, another young player. So now when you look at this team in terms of their linebackers, you're looking at Edgerrin Cooper, who was drafted this year, Quay Walker, who's only been in the league 2 years and rising, and you have Lucas Van Ness as well, who's another rising pass rusher on this team. This team is set and primed to eventually, within the next year or so, to really start making a strong run to be a perennial, not just playoff team, but to be a perennial team that is in the conference championship looking to take that next step to go to the Super Bowl. And I think they have the team that is set up to go do it, and we'll continue on. Javon Bullard. Now here, Javon Bullard, you know, drafted as a safety, was a safety at Georgia. He is on the small side. He's only 5'10", about 198 pounds. He's more of a big nickel package guy who's probably, and that's what you look at when you look at the tape at Georgia. That's kind of what he played. This is the type of role that he will again play in Green Bay because, from my perspective, he's a little bit too small. They all, even though they lost Darnell Savage, they did go out and get Xavier McKinney, so they don't have to necessarily put him at the safety position. They can play him as a big nickel and not really expose him too much because he's not the defender against the pass as he is playing that big nickel where he can really kind of just lock in space about what's going on with the run and those short to intermediate passes as opposed to really trying to cover somebody deep on the back end. The value, though, that we need to talk about the Green Bay Packers really came in the seventh round. Michael Pratt, who, when you look at his career, has consistently gotten better while he was at Tulane. He went from a 2-10 team with Tulane that very next year, probably his best year at Tulane. They immediately jumped from 2-10 to 12-2 and then 11-3. And what you're watching is the maturation of a quarterback. And these are the things that you want to look at as a developmental quarterback that Green Bay always seems to do. They had Matt Flynn before. They developed him, were able to trade him off for a few pieces. And now you bring in Michael Pratt. Even though you have Jordan Love and he looks and appears to be the future, you can develop another quarterback right behind him. And if he works, you can move him on to another team for some other picks. And then there's also Kalen King from Penn State. Great value in the seventh round. He did run a very slow 40 at a 4.61. What he did in 2022 did not look like what he did in 2023. He came in with high hopes, but falling to the seventh round, there's a lot of value here. And that's what you're looking at in the seventh round. It's not like you're trying to necessarily find this guy who can be a starter. You're looking for a guy that fell, that's a gem, that you can help develop, that doesn't need to start right away. My draft grade for the Green Bay Packers is going to be an A-, and it's simply because they hit no home runs. I think they hit a bunch of doubles and a couple of triples. So that means you're consistently moving a guy from base to base to base, and you're not really missing on anything, but you're consistently keeping people that will be in your rotation. You don't guys that'll just be sitting on the bench, guys that will be able to participate, that will be able to get on the field with all the value that they got in this draft.
I think value is the key word here, Alex. This is a stereotypical Packers draft. Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle at Arizona, might have been a little earlier than I would have expected, but clearly he was a guy that they identified and liked in this class. They do a pretty good job of drafting offensive linemen, so I'm going to trust that he was a guy there. Edgerrin Cooper, arguably the best linebacker in this class. A lot of people had him as the number one linebacker in this class. Very good player. Against the run, good in coverage. Tyron Hopper, another linebacker that they added to add some depth. Not as good in coverage as Cooper, but a guy who can really get downhill, stop the run. I really like Marshawn Lloyd, the running back out of USC. I think in the third round, really good value. It's going to add some depth to that running back room. I think he's going to have a role as a rotational running back year one. Evan Williams in the fourth, safety out of Oregon, a guy who's a physical player, a good athlete. I think that was a nice pick, and I'm with you on Michael Pratt. This is a guy I thought for sure would be a fourth or maybe fifth round pick. To get him late in the seventh is tremendous value. At the very least, you have a guy with a lot of experience that could be a solid backup with some upside. Kalen King as well, I think you hit that one perfectly. A guy with some late value upside. Just a lot of value across the board for the Packers. I don't know if there's any home runs here, like you said, Alex, but a lot of doubles. I'm going to give them a B+, maybe an A-, but I don't know if it quite has the shine to give them an A, but I'm going to go B+ here. I think this was a really, really solid draft by a team that does it as well as anybody in the Green Bay Packers. Alex, let's go to the Detroit Lions, a team that surprised some people, had a nice run into the NFC Championship game. They're looking to take the next step. It starts in April, and in the first round, pick 24, Detroit actually traded a 2025 third-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys so they can move up five spots and took Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama. He was my fifth-ranked corner in this class. I didn't actually have a first round grade on Arnold. Look, he's a good player. I think he's a solid player, but the more tape I watched on him, the further down my board this guy fell. He ran a 4.5 40-yard dash at the combine. I think it shows up on tape. He gets beat with speed way too often. He gets really grabby, especially when guys get a step on him, and I think that's going to get called in the NFL. It doesn't tend to get called much at the college football level. Now, he also gets turned around too often, but look, this is a guy who's a fluid athlete. He's good in run support. He has enough tools, I think, to be a really effective cornerback in the NFL, but I think that, quite frankly, he might have been one of the more overrated prospects in this draft. I thought he was more of a second-round guy. Taking him late in the first, though, I understand it. It was a position of need for them. I also had a second to early third round grade on their next pick. They went back to the cornerback position and took Enos Rakestraw, the cornerback from Missouri. They ended up taking him in the second round. And look, this is a physical cornerback, excels in zone coverage. He's really good in run support, but he's really below average in man coverage. And I think the speed, once again, is one of the reasons why he can struggle at times in that man coverage. He gives up a lot of completions. He was actually my 10th ranked corner in this class. So ran a slow 4.51 40 yard dash. Really lacks that ideal speed that you're looking for in a starting corner. They needed help at corner, but I think they addressed it in free agency and with their first pick. So I think with the second round pick here going back to corner, I just think there were other positions that they could have addressed in this spot.
Absolutely, Brad. I mean, I likened it to the Green Bay Packers way back, you know, a Randy Moss moon ago, where they simply just drafted cornerback for the first three rounds because they were confused about how they were going to be able to stop this guy. Now, I know we know what the Bears did. We know what the Vikings have. And we kind of know a little bit what, you know, actually a lot about what Green Bay has in terms of what they're coming in with that passing attack. So I understand, you know, perhaps maybe going cornerback in the first round. But like you nailed it, you said they went in free agency and got a guy, a proven guy in Carlton Davis. And then in the first round of the draft, got Terrion Arnold, who on a lot of other scouts draft board may have had him a little bit high and had him definitely as a first round as opposed to what you looked at him as. But the need was there, so we understood that. But you also talked about a real critical need that they possibly passed up on and not going to get that other guy that they need. So I want you to continue on because I think we're going to have an interesting grade for this team.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex, because I didn't really love the next pick at all. And look, I'm not going to pretend that I know anything about Giovanni Manu from British Columbia. This is a guy that took him in the fourth round. I'm not even going to sit here and pretend like I know anything about him. So let's just skip over him. No idea what they're getting with that player. Now, Sione Vaki, also a guy they took in the fourth round. This is an interesting pick here because he played both running back and safety at Utah. Really good athlete, can close on the ball, big hitter, physical player. I actually think he was better as a running back than he was as a safety. So I'm kind of interested to see how the Lions use him going forward. Now, Mekhi Wingo, they took in the sixth round, defensive tackle out of LSU. This is a pick that I love, Alex. Explosive first step quickness. This guy can really rush the passer, collapse the pocket. His pass rush win rate was elite at the college level. He's a very good run defender as well. I think he was one of maybe the top 85 players or so in this draft. Getting him at pick 189 overall, I think, is incredible value. I think he is a steal in this draft. Going into this draft, Alex, I think that the Lions' biggest needs were at cornerback, wide receiver, and edge. I think they overdrafted cornerback. They had to trade up to get Arnold, so I don't really love that either. And they didn't draft a wide receiver in this class, which I thought didn't make any sense at all because this class was loaded at that position. They also didn't draft a single edge defender either. So ignoring two of your biggest needs was really head-scratching to me. Now, Sione Vaki, I think, is an interesting player in the fourth. Mekhi Wingo, like I mentioned, I think he's a steal late in this draft. But overall, just not impressed with what Detroit did here to address this roster. I'm going to go with a C-. I wanted to go lower, but I love the Mekhi Wingo pick. I think Sione Vaki is interesting. And I do like that they addressed corner, but I just think they overdid it.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you here with the grade. And it's really more on behalf of not getting another wide receiver. And that includes looking in terms of what they did in the offseason as well. They didn't address it in free agency either. Now, we know they paid them on. I've been saying since Alabama had a run on these wide receivers, basically for the most part, all of them have hit. This is the one guy that they actually have on their team in Jameson Williams, who I think is not going to hit, and I don't think he's going to be able to get a second contract from this team. and he's yet to really been able to even be able to play a full season to see if he can actually be something. So to your point, and the reason I'm raising it is to your point, they did not in a deep draft, and as you said, Brendan Rice went in the seventh round, they simply did not address this position at all, as if they were fine going into the season with a team that seemed like they were a couple of plays away from possibly even making it to the Super Bowl. You want to build on that. And instead, it seems like they kind of went off kilter. But we've been here before. Again, Brad, last year, I really raked them across the coals for what they picked, and they proved us both wrong. So only time will tell.
Did you know that Pint Glass Football is more than just this podcast? We have an exclusive newsletter. Sign up for free at pintglassfootball.com to receive articles and insights delivered straight to your inbox. But wait, there's more. We're excited to announce our brand new YouTube channel. Not only can you listen to our podcast on YouTube, but you'll also find exclusive video content waiting for you. So hit the pause button right now and go subscribe to our newsletter and hit that subscribe button on YouTube to stay connected with the latest football news and our exclusive content. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. I personally love the Pick'em game. Just pick between 2 and 5 players to build a Pick'em entry. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up today with promo code PGF. That's promo code PGF to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. The official ticketing app of Pint Glass Football is now SeatGeek. I can't recommend them enough, guys. I've been using SeatGeek for years. You want to go to a game this season? SeatGeek is here to take the confusion out of buying tickets, making sure you get the best seats at the best prices. With SeatGeek, you'll never have to worry about overpaying for tickets again. How? They put a 0 to 10 score on each ticket, so you know you're getting a good deal. But here's the real game changer. You can get $20 off your first ticket purchase with the code PGFPOD. That's right, $20 off with code PGFPOD. This season, make every game day epic with SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app and remember to enter the code PGFPOD to grab your $20 discount.
So we saved the best for last. The Minnesota Vikings. First round, and they had two. They ended up with 2 first round picks. As we know, they traded with Houston to get that second first round draft pick just in case they needed to move up to get the guy that they wanted. And apparently, the guy that they wanted was J.J. McCarthy. The issue with this pick is, and it's an issue that I've been having with J.J. McCarthy as a player overall, given what Kevin O'Connell does and given what Triple J Justin Jefferson Jr. is to that team, J.J. McCarthy typically does not fit what that team does and what the skill set that J.J. possesses to go down the field and make plays. J.J. McCarthy is a quarterback that at Michigan, and we and trust and believe we do understand what he was at Michigan and the type of style of offense that they ran. However, it is what it is, and what you put on tape is what you put on tape. He does not go down the field. 68% of his passes were in the middle of the field, and about another 20% of those when he did throw outside the hash marks or outside the numbers were based on crossing routes between Cornelius Johnson and Roman Wilson, and oft times he was seen throwing a little bit behind those receivers on those simple crossing routes. He simply does not seem like a good fit for how explosive this team was under Kirk Cousins. The look that I see is that he's going to cause this offense to shrink. He's not going to take advantage of things that are going to go on down the field between Addison and as well as Triple J. TJ Hockenson should be drafted in the first 3 rounds of anybody's fantasy draft because he's going to have over 100 targets and possibly over 100 catches simply because that is what J.J. McCarthy is comfortable doing the most, which is not taking advantage of going down the field, just with your ex receiver, as dynamic as that player is, and what I see and what I've seen of him, how do we expect him to take advantage and be successful in this league and with this team?
Yeah, Alex, we've talked a lot about J.J. McCarthy on this podcast. I think he's the most intriguing quarterback, probably the most intriguing player in this entire class. Look, here's the bottom line for me. I had a second-round grade on J.J. McCarthy, late first at best. Taking him where he was taken, I think, is crazy. I think it's a huge reach, and because of that, if we're doing draft grades, that doesn't sit well with me. Now, from a fit standpoint, he's going to have some great pass catchers around him, and he's got an offensive-minded coach who's a pretty good play caller. So I think he's in a pretty good position to succeed because of that. So I think it's a good fit from that standpoint. You've got some good young offensive linemen to protect him, and like I said, some really good young receivers, but it feels like a really big reach here, and they gave up some serious draft capital to make this happen. So I'm not a fan of this pick at all. If you would have taken him late in the first with, let's say, that 23rd overall pick that they had, if you would have taken him there, I wouldn't even have been upset, because at that point you're talking about, okay, there's some value there. But as early as they took him, this better work for the Vikings and that GM.
Absolutely. I often wonder if we could ever get a lot of these teams' draft board after the fact to truly know where a lot of these teams had J.J. McCarthy ranked. But off of that, because I think we could talk, we can make an entire pod on that alone. I will say, with their second pick, with the loss of Danielle Hunter, their true only edge rusher, they did go and get Dallas Turner. As we know, in this draft, for the first 15 picks, we did not have a defensive player taken until the Colts took Latu at number 16, if I'm not mistaken. But Dallas Turner at number 17, this was a guy that a lot of people had mocked, myself included, had him going in the top 10. He falls all the way to 17. More on the draft picks that they use to move into position to get JJ as well as Dallas. But here at 17, great value, one of the best edge rushers in the draft. They didn't have a third round pick. However, they came back in the fourth and drafted a guy that I was high on as well, in Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon. Now, Kyrie Jackson is a kid. He's 6'4", long, lanky, is a playmaker. However, there are some character issues. Had he not had the character issues, we were probably looking at a second round, early third round pick in Kyrie Jackson. But instead, he was there in the fourth, suspended for undisclosed, and I'm using air quotes, reasons in 2022, which usually means the disciplinary actions that the team just does not put out there. But a really good pick, great value in the fourth round. And as far as the rest of this draft goes, Walter Rouse, Will Record, Michael Juergens, and Levi Drake Rodriguez, this was just simply for a lot of depth. I'm actually going to give them a D+. And that's probably the first D grade that I've given, even though they have some nice picks in it. But I think what they gave up in order to get these picks for 2025, the Vikings are only sitting with three picks. They have their first round pick and they have 2/5. And given what they gave up to get Dallas Turner, to also get J.J. McCarthy, I have to give them a D+, because this is going to affect them in the future when they're going to need draft picks to still fill out this team. As we know, defensively, they are still struggling, as is, even though that defensive coordinator had them playing a lot better, they're still struggling. They still need a lot more pieces here. So a D+ is my grade.
Yeah, Alex, I'm not even going to push back on it, because I'm with you. They mortgaged their future for this draft, and I don't understand it. I'm never a fan of moving that kind of capital. Like you said, three picks next year, that's it? A first and 2/5? That's all they have. I don't like that at all, considering what they gave up. I don't like the returns at all. Now, Dallas Turner at 17, I think, is really nice value. I think he was a top 10 player in this draft. So I think that was a nice move. I like Kyrie Jackson as well in the fourth. That was a really nice value pick. Really good athlete, good player. Walter Rouse, swing tackle, backup at best. Look, I don't spend a whole lot of time on this podcast talking about kickers, Alex, but I'm going to take a second here, because Will Reichard, the kicker from Alabama, was maybe the third or fourth best kicker in this class, and you take him ahead of several kickers that, quite frankly, were better. So I don't like that pick at all. I mean, taking a kicker is bad enough, but then not even taking the best one on the board makes no sense at all. I agree with you completely, Alex. This is really going to come down to one thing. In 3 years, when we look back on this draft by the Vikings and the moves they made and the returns they got, it's going to really come down to one player, and we know that, Alex. J.J. McCarthy, can he turn into a top 10 quarterback in this league? I'm not saying year one, but can he develop into a top 10 guy? Really, that's the question that's going to linger over this Minnesota draft class. I just don't like what this GM has done the last couple years for the Vikings. I don't like the direction that this franchise is headed, and I really think they made some risky moves once again in April. If you enjoy the podcast, do us a favor, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Another episode later this week with more draft grades to come. But once again, I'm Brad Fowler. He's Alex Higdon. This is Pint Glass Football, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Pint Glass Football Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter at PGF Podcast.
You know what's important when you're having a good time? Staying hydrated. And that's where Liquid IV comes in, the category-winning hydration brand that's fueling your well-being. With just one stick of Liquid IV, you get 2 times faster hydration than water alone, plus 5 essential vitamins to keep you feeling your best. And let's not forget about the convenience factor. The packaging is perfect for on the go, whether you're tailgating or just hanging out on the couch. But what really sets Liquid IV apart is the amazing flavors. Personally, I'm all about the Concord Grape and Lemon Lime. And with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks, Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients to give you the hydration and nourishment you need. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code PGFP at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code PGFP at liquidiv.com. Zencastr is the ultimate web-based podcasting solution. It provides high-quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. With a full suite of professional tools, podcasters can seamlessly record, produce, and publish studio-quality content all from one dashboard. Zencastr's post-production process takes the headache out of audio production. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. Coordinating all your guests to record in person is painful and tedious. Easily invite up to 11 participants per recording with one click. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code PGFP and you'll get 30% off your first 3 months of Zencastr Professional. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.